Good evening, everyone. If you have your copy of God's Word, I'd invite you to go ahead and turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. Now, most people who've heard me preach before know that Ephesians 2, 1 through 10 is one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture. In fact, it was the first passage I ever preached here, but we are not tonight going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 2, 1 through 10. We are instead going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 22. When Chris asked me about preaching the homily and bringing the homily, I said, well, how long do I have? He said, well, you can go shorter or longer, but usually shorter. And I'm going to tell you something. If you don't know, one of the hardest things as a preacher to do is make a sermon shorter. We have no problem talking more, but talking less, that's a trouble for us. But we are we're going to endeavor to keep it fairly short. So Ephesians chapter 2, if you would stand for the reading of God's word, and we will start in verse 11. And it says, therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing the law of the commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are now fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, thank you so much for all of your many blessings. Thank you for this time that we have to come together and to worship, dear Lord. As we study this portion of your word, God, I pray that you give us open hearts and minds to be receptive to the truth, dear Lord. God, thank you for what you did so many years ago when in the fullness of your time and your plan, you sent your son to die that we who were far off might be brought near. God, we love you and we praise you. May you receive the honor and glory you're due in all we say and do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. To this point in his letter, Paul has covered a myriad of different topics. He's talked about God's choosing and predestination of those who would be adopted in chapter 1, where we're told that he chose us in Christ to be holy and blameless before the foundation of the world. He's talked about God's glorious grace that leads us to our praise for him, that we are blessed in the beloved, chapter 1, verse 6, and that we have redemption through the blood of Christ and the forgiveness of our sins in verse 7. In verses 9 and 10 of chapter 1, we see that God's plan was fulfilled in God's time according to God's will. We're told that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit and that he is the guarantor of our promise of inheritance. We see that in chapter 1, verses 11 and 14. We see in chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, mankind's natural state apart from Christ, that we are dead in our trespasses and sins, that we were living for sinful pleasures and desires, that we were children of wrath by our very nature. We also see in chapter 2, the verse, couple of verses, we see God's mercy and grace towards us and his love for us as believers. In chapter 2, verse 5, we're told that we are saved by his grace. In chapter 2, verse 8, that we are saved through his gift of faith. Well, in light of all of these beautiful truths and many more that Paul has spoken about and talked about throughout the first chapter and a half of this letter, when we get to this section, Paul transitions into expounding even more on some truths and of the blessings and benefits that we have in Christ. And similarly to the way he starts chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, he starts this section where he starts off with the bad news. Only in chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, we see verses 1 through 3 specifically, we see the bad news that all mankind is guilty, that all mankind is under the wrath of God, that all mankind are by nature children of wrath, that we are sinners in need of salvation. Instead, when we get to verse 11, specifically verses 11 through 13, or verses 11 and 12, I should say, we see the bad news of the natural state of Gentiles prior to the coming of Christ. So look again at verse 11 and 12. It says, "Therefore remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." So we see here the bad news that we were without Christ as part of the uncircumcision, that we were alienated from Israel, that we were strangers to the promises, that we were outside of the covenant, that we were without hope and without God. Now, when Christ came, he did away with that state, and that's no longer the state applied to Gentiles, where Jews are right with God by way of keeping the law, but where now that points to unbelievers who aren't. In John 3:18, we see that those who don't believe are condemned already. We're no longer separated from God based on whether or not we're Jew or whether or not we're Gentile. We're now separated from God, as we've always been in a sense, by our own sinfulness, by our own rejection of his lordship. And you see in verse 13 that he transitions from who we were, that we were aliens, that we were strangers, that we were outside of the covenant, to who we now are in Christ. And there are four specific things that I want us to see as we look through these, starting in verse 13. In verse 13, he tells us that we have been brought near, that those who were brought near, or those who were once far off, I should say, have been brought near through the blood of Christ. Here in this verse, we see reconciliation. We see that us as believers, that we have been reconciled to God through faith in Christ and through the shedding of his blood. Acts chapter 2, verses 37 through 40 tells us that Christ came preaching and that there was salvation for those who were far off, as many as the Lord calls. That in Christ there is salvation now for the Gentile, just as there was to the Jew through faith in Christ alone. So not only are we reconciled to Christ, but we see in verses 14 through 16 that we are also, through Christ, reconciled to one another. Look again, starting in verse 14. "For he himself is our peace, who made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility." So we see first that through Christ we are reconciled to God, that we were far off and now have been brought near, but we have also been reconciled to one another. As the Jews and the Greeks were separated, as the Jews were God's chosen people and the Gentiles, the Greeks, were separated, were outside of the covenant, we no longer are separated that way. We are now united in Christ, whether Jew or Greek, black or white, American or Asian, it does not matter. If we are in Christ, we are one in Christ. God has always had one people. He still has one people. In Romans chapter 11, verses 11 through 18, we see this beautiful passage from Paul where he addresses this issue, and he words it as an olive tree, where some of the branches of the olive tree that weren't producing fruit were cut away. And then those other branches, the wild olive branches, as Paul calls them, are then grafted in and brought in. This is a beautiful picture of what happens in the covenant of Christ, where we, the Gentiles, the unbelievers, those who are outside the covenant, are brought in through faith in Christ into God's chosen people. Ephesians chapter 4, if you would look over there, Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 1, Paul writes this: I therefore, prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. One. There's not an American church and a Chinese church and a South American church. There is the church. Christ has one bride, the church, and we are all united together in Christ. In verses 17 and 18 of chapter 2, we see that we have been granted access to God through Christ. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16 encourage us that we can now draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we can find grace and receive mercy because of the work of Christ. So we are reconciled to God and one another. We are able to come into the presence of God. We are brought near to God. In verses 19 and 20, we see that we are made fellow citizens and part of God's household. Here we see this beautiful picture of adoption. Look again at verse 19 and 20. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone. We are no longer on the outside. Not only have we been brought near, not only have we been granted access to God through Christ, but beyond that, we have been adopted into the very family of God, that we are now co-heirs, it tells us in Romans chapter 8, that we are co-heirs with Christ. Lastly, in verses 21 and 22, we see that we are growing into a holy sanctuary and dwelling, and this is a picture of sanctification. So we've had reconciliation, we've had adoption, we've been brought into the presence of God, and now we have sanctification. Look again at verses 21 and 22. In whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 5 tells us that we are a royal priesthood and that we are being built as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood. So in Christ, we talked about this past Sunday, when we looked at Palm Sunday and the entrance into Jerusalem. Yes, Christ knew what was coming. He knew the beating that was waiting. He knew the torment that was waiting. He knew the wrath of his Father that he was going to face. He knew the death that he was going to suffer. He knew all of it, but he also knew that it wasn't the end. As the saying goes, is somewhat popular today, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. the death was not the end. His resurrection even was not the end, because now he is resurrected and he is seated at the right hand of the Father, where he rules and reigns. And we experience all of these things as a benefit of our faith in him. So as we go throughout the rest of this service and we consider and we think through and we ponder and we listen to these passages being read, and we listen to and we remember what it is that Christ suffered, let us not lose sight of the grace and mercy of God towards us in Christ. We have been justified. We are being sanctified. One day we will be glorified. And it's all to the praise and the glory of God. Join with me, if you will, in your bulletin as we read the responsive prayer. Great and everlasting Father, you are good, and your steadfast love endures forever. O Lord, we worship you. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. Father, you are our help, our strength, and our song. You sent your Son to suffer and die for our sins, becoming our salvation. Tonight we reflect on those sufferings. We remember his suffering was due to our sin. Because of his sacrificial love, we will not die, but will live. O Lord, accept our praises through Jesus Christ, who sanctifies us. Grant us the peace of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.